Hello and welcome again to another installment of Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. Friends, we bring you these verse by verse Bible messages because we believe that teaching verse by verse is the most effective and powerful way to properly equip the saints of God for what the world is throwing at them now and what this world will be throwing at us in the future. So my name is Matthew, my wife Victoria, we have opened a hand car washing business in Churchill on Highway 11W in the Palace Shopping Center. It's called The Wash and Word. And there we hand wash your vehicles. And it is through that business that this ministry is supported. And so as we bring you these verse by verse Bible teachings, if the Lord is touching you to support this ministry, simply come by and support our business. And allow us to work to earn what it takes to keep this ministry on the air. There are three ways you can listen to it. You can come by the physical building of The Wash and Word on 107.1 FM. We play these messages on a loop. You can go by the website washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. Or Monday through Friday on 1260 AM WMCH. These messages play at 8:30 in the morning, Monday through Friday. So with that said, again, go to the Wash and Word website for information about the business and about the ministry. But let us get back into our verse-by-verse teaching. We're in the book of Jonah, chapter 2, and we are currently, Jonah is now inside the whale, and from inside the fish, Jonah began to pray. And the first thing we looked at is what Jonah began to pray for is, well, first let's go back to what we were talking about in our last message about having a desperation for God. You know, when we're in the belly of the beast or we're in the pit of despair, we are most closest to God. And if only we could experience that kind of longing and desperation for the fellowship and the hearing of God in our lives every day, boy, wouldn't that be a great way to live? And while difficult, it is not impossible to achieve. There are people who live their lives like that. But remember, it takes two things to be desperate for the Lord at all times, not just in our moments of despair. And those two things are a willingness to be broken and a remembrance from the depths of which God has rescued you. And we looked at Paul back in Philippians, where he recounted from the depths of which God had raised him from, and how he counts nothing in his life worth anything compared to the, you know, what it meant for him to be preaching Christ crucified. And so he was a man who lived every day in a brokenness of desperation for God, and he had a willingness to be broken. And that's what created the man Paul to be like this. And again, looking back at our character here, Jonah, he was a desperate man in the belly of the beast. And when he finally began to pray, whether it was the beginning of his experience or the end of experience, his prayer stemmed from a remembrance from which he was rescued. And remember, the whale isn't what he needs rescuing from, though it seems that way. The whale was the rescue. Jonah needed rescuing from the sea and the waves and the wind and the seaweed when he was thrown overboard. And he recounted that in the verses we read in chapter 2, where the waves were crashing over him, he said, and the seaweed was overtaking him. And he was basically looking to figuring this was the end. And then as the waters engulfed him, that's when the whale came to save him. And sometimes the answer to God's prayer is the trial. It just depends on how we want to look at it. But remember, to live desperate for God at all times calls for a willingness to be broken and a remembrance of the depths from which God has rescued you. Jonah had now realized that the whale saved him from the watery grave and of the sinking to the depths of the bowels of the earth. Now let's continue in verse 6. He's reading, he's praying on. He says, "To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, brought my life up from the pit, O Lord, my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you and to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Let us stop right there. We're finishing his prayer. And again, you know, Jonah is mostly associated with being in the whale and being swallowed by the fish. But if you look at it, it's just one chapter. It's just one small part, but there's a lot involved in this one little section of Scripture. And as we read the prayer of Jonah, we see a changing of heart take place in Jonah. And it said that the Lord vomited the prophet onto dry land. Well, why did God do this? Why did he decide that it was time for him to be spit out? Because the work that God had to do in Jonah was complete. Remember, before God can do a work through you, because remember, God called Jonah to do a work for the nation of Nineveh, the town of Nineveh. And of course, we know he ran, but before God can do a work through you, he often has to do a work in you. And so aside from just repenting and remembering where he came from, he also acknowledged the difference between worthless idols and true grace. I love that in verse 8. It says, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. That's interesting. In the middle of all of this prayer, that he put that line in there. And an interesting thought came to me when I read this, and that is, it is not enough just to believe that people need Jesus. I know that sounds like an incomplete thought. It is not enough just to believe that people need Jesus. But effective evangelism is much more than just the knowledge of that fact. Just knowing that certain people need Jesus, that isn't evangelism. Effective evangelism is knowledge combined with action, reaction, and compassion. In James 2, we read that faith without deeds is what? It's a worthless faith. James 2:19 says that you believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You see, it isn't enough just to believe that there is a God. It isn't enough just to believe that people need Jesus. That knowledge has to be combined with action, reaction, and compassion. And as Jonah will find out, his verse 8 admission that we just read will not sustain him when the Ninevites repent. Because Jonah knew that they needed to hear the truth, but by the reaction that we'll read in the next two chapters, we see that he didn't believe that they would actually repent. Because when they did, as we'll see, he reacts completely in an ungodly way. Again, knowledge combined with action, reaction, and compassion is the formula for effective evangelism. You see, Jonah acknowledged that they needed to hear grace. Jonah acknowledged that they needed to hear the message that God had given to them. It wasn't the fact that he denied these things. He completely believed, and he showed that by the fact that he eventually did go and preach repentance to the Ninevites. So he had action, he had knowledge, but you see, God wasn't done with him yet, because his reaction showed that he still had work to be done in him. And so maybe you're thinking, well, you're actually contradicting yourself, handsome radio preacher, because you just said God spit him out because he had learned his lesson. It said that in verse 10, the Lord commanded the fish and it vomited onto dry land. Well, he did learn his lesson. And for that moment in time, the lesson Jonah needed to learn was that he had to humble himself and he had to get his life centered back to looking at God. He had to remember from whence he came, and he had to acknowledge the saving grace of God through the whale. And so that was the lesson God wanted him to learn from inside the pit of the beast, inside that belly of despair. And so Jonah learned that lesson. God spit him out. And you say, okay, so Jonah's on his way now to doing what he was called to do. He's learned his lesson and he's healed. He's fixed. Well, unfortunately, friends, if you've been walking with the Lord long enough, you know that that's not the case with God. Because when we learn a lesson as we walk through our life as a Christian, and we master that lesson, or we get changed through what God is trying to change us in, or we react properly to that trial, what happens? It only catapults you to the next level of your Christian walk. And at that next level, there's just another demon waiting there to overcome you. It's like a real life version of a video game or Super Mario Brothers, where every time you complete a level, you go on to another level and there's a whole new enemy to attack. And this is the sanctification of Christian faith, where we're never done. We're not done until we're done, until we finish breathing. And we move from one level, so we may be spit out of the mouth of the beast onto dry land, but there on dry land is the next level and the next enemy. And it's there again where we have to reposition ourselves, and we have to give something up, or we have to completely put our lives in God's hands. We have to be willing to forfeit and sacrifice, be willing to give up, or whatever it is that God's trying to teach us in that level of our lives and our Christian walks. And so, yes, God did spit Jonah out when he learned the lesson. But on that shore, a new lesson to be learned was being given back again to Jonah. And so God was not done with Jonah yet. But if you know the story of Jonah, who could really blame Jonah? He did not want to go to the enemies and preach salvation. You know, you think about someone who maybe has cancer or got dealt a bum hand, you know, and they need Jesus. You wouldn't think twice about going to a child with cancer and telling them about Jesus, would you? No, of course not. But what about a child molester or a rapist or an abortionist or the bile of society? Those people need Jesus too. Are we just as willing to go to them? No. And so we see why God was not done with Jonah, and we can understand a little bit why Jonah might have been hesitant to still go forward to preach to the enemies of the Jews. And so the last thing I want to touch on before I end this message, as we take chapter 1 and chapter 2 as a whole, now listen, this is important. God uses our detours, but he never intended them to exist. Did you hear me? God uses our detours, but he never intended for them to exist. So praise the Lord that he takes our mess ups and he uses them for his glory. But they were never meant to be a part of the plan. God has a perfect will for our life. We were created to glorify God, and his intentions for us, that is, his will for us, has always been perfect. From the beginning, God does not put detours in our life. He rescues us from them. His way, his will is always perfect. Isn't that wonderful? He doesn't put the detours there, but he rescues us from them and we learn from them. So how are you doing today? Do you feel like you're on a detour? Do you feel like everything is going 1,000 miles an hour and your path is blocked? Listen, God can spit you out of your stinking thinking onto dry land if you just humble yourself before him. And it goes back to taking time to pray and be quiet in his presence. Well, friends, I invite you to join us again tomorrow on this radio station for another verse-by-verse installment, or go to the Wash and Word hand car washing business to hear these messages. or go to washandword.com for everything about this business and this ministry. That's washandword.com. Have a blessed day.